my name is Andrey Kochetov. I'm leader of one of the leader of trade union of Lugansk People's Republic, and also I am member of Council of trade union of Lugansk People's Republic.
So, representing what kind of workers and how many?
In trade union.
Yes, yes, in the union.
In my union, something like 5,500 people, but in general, in Lugansk People's Republic, about 200,000 people.
Okay, and what is your union?
In my trade union, 5,000 and half.
Okay, and what is your union representing? What kind of workers?
In other branch of industry, but the name is innovative. Oh, I forget. I try to find the English right name of my trade union, because in Russian it innovation, something like that, but it's difficult to find.
So is this like engineering or research?
No. You see, it's more connected to industry. In industrial workers.
Okay, so what kind of industry will the workers be working in? Where will we find your members?
We have, as I told you, other branches. For example, their factory which produces water, the factory which produce connecting to the metal industry. Also, how to say English, metal workers, and so on.
Okay, so can you just say the name of the union in Russian?
Профсоюз инновационных и малых предприятий.
Okay, it's a bit of a mouthful for anyone in English. But anyway, look, take us...
Innovative and small small enterprises.
Okay. Well, anyway, can you take us through your journey since 2014, please? What's been going on in your life?
It was a war against... as for me, it was a civil war against the central government, against the region of Donbass, because the people of Donbass just said they wanted to be listened by government. But for government, as it turned out, it was much easier to use a regular army against our people.
So why was the Donbass, the southeast region of Ukraine, why was it that they didn't want to accept the new government after the coup? Why that region?
You see, it was not immediately, but from the... first, so-called Maidan, which took part in 2004, and their president Yushchenko, he divided in his slogan the country the biggest part, this is the real and good Ukrainians, and eastern part of Ukraine, bad Ukrainians, because they people of Russian culture. You see, from the Soviet Union, It was the very big industrial region. And after the Second World War, the government invited people from other regions of the Soviet Union to Donbass to work, to rise up the industry on the, of the Soviet Union. And that's why it's this region is multinational. And that's why you see it was always a little different part of Ukraine. But as for me and many people, we use Ukrainian language, we use Ukrainian habits and without any problem. More of this, in the Soviet time, we study Ukrainian language in our schools without any problem. So as for me, I think that it was Yushchenko prepared the future attack against the people of Donbass, as for me. Because now I understand that before 2004, I never heard about that Donbass is something strange for the rest part of Ukraine or something like that. But now the situation, not now, but after the Yushchenko announcement, they step by step, day by day, they started to say that Donbass people is not good Ukrainians. And in 2014, the people rise up and said, please, listen to us. We are the Ukrainian people. But as I told you that they decided to fight against us by regular army. Yes?
Yes. So can you tell us about that experience? That must have been rather worrying to have the army turning up instead of the police.
You see, it was a big fake. Because, you know, they called the military operation as the anti-terroristic operation. It was especially for the people of Western countries, because many people decided that operation against terrorism, it means that police air forces try to find some terrorists and so on. But they never said that they use a real army with tanks, with aircrafts, and so on. So, as for me, it was they play tricks with governments of Western countries. You know that many people from other countries came to Ukraine to support Maidan and so on and so on.
Yes, so that's true. Yes, the special forces, I think you'll probably find this week down in Niger and other African countries, those special forces have, are down there in order to try and reverse a coup, because that, we know that the coup is a good coup or a bad coup. I mean, the idea that you're overthrowing a democratic government doesn't really mean anything anymore, because some of those democratic governments aren't democratic at all. Anyway, if you go to that part of the world, am I right in thinking, because this is a very small piece of my memory, that we had one of the Donbass governors or presidents of one of those regions actually assassinated?
Assassinated? What does it mean? I don't remember this word.
Was one of the leaders of the Donbass murdered, killed, assassinated?
Yes, Zakharchenko. You see, anyway, we know that Ukrainian use, how to say, their all bad kinds of war. For example, they killed one of the leader of DPR, Alexander Zakharchenko. And you see, they never even tried to hide it. That they always were proud. Yes, we killed him.
I mean, do we know how or who, how he was killed? Because this is must be something which is well known in the Donbass. British people know nothing about this. So who killed him and how?
Okay, he has a habit not far from his office. He often went to the one little restaurant with the name Separatist, and he go there for a dinner, and there is a small corridor between two doors, and when he came in this small corridor, something like 2 or 3 meters, the electricity lamp exposed above his head, and his body was damaged terribly. Okay.
Yeah. So, how did what were the main events, do you think, between 2014 and now, to the when the Russians troops came in? Because I think we need to understand, obviously, that the 2014 coup, the Maidan coup, was really the West's and the European Union putting their person in charge of Ukraine. And so the idea that this is a sovereign country is really not true. But what were the main events on the way to from there to getting the Russians arriving on your doorstep?
You see, as for me, that the Kyiv government and government from Western countries is very, very shy. But we knew very well that Ukrainian army during the period of so-called Minsk agreements, they teach their soldiers, they prepare to the war against our region, and they what they did, they prepared everything to attack our territory, and we knew it very well. Because the huge massive of military troops came to our territory. I heard the number is more than 1,200. Yes, 120,000 people. Yes. These military troops divided in two big groups. One of this group was near Mariupol in the south of Donbass region, and the other one is near Lysychansk on the north part of, and they prepared to divide our territory in two parts, and they loudly said that we prepared the concentration camps, and during 5 years we will examine the activity of all people of Donbass, and we decided who will stay alive or who will be dying, and so on. And we knew it very well. But now, all Western governments completely forget about it. For our people, the Putin is not just came to liberate us. For us, he came to defend us. And we know that he had a very big reason to do it. Okay?
Yeah, so what's that reason?
The reason that the Ukrainian army prepared to attack us and to kill us.
Well, how did he know that?
Because you see, they even tried to hide it. They said loudly on the TV. We got many information from our relatives from that side that they prepare. They gather many tanks and other techniques. So it wasn't a big secret.
Okay, so what was life in the Donbass like between 2014 and 2022? That those 8 years, it really was the Minsk agreements. Was it peace?
It's difficult to say. Yes, there were not a very big activities on the front line, but anyway, we heard some time for time the artillery sound. As I told you, they use spies against our leaders and so on, but maybe it's possible to say that the situation was rather stable before 2022. But we understood very well that Ukraine is not going to stop on this situation, and they will prepare to attack us. You see, they always said that we need Donbass, but they never said that they need the population of Donbass. Do you feel the difference between these statements?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure that's not lost on a lot of people. Now, some of my trade union friends in Britain, they point to a really horrendous event in Odessa. Now, can you just explain what happened there? This is around the time of the coup, isn't it? Maybe later on that year, I think.
Please ask one more time.
Some of my friends in the unions here in Britain, they say something terrible happened in Odessa. That is, the Kiev government did something really bad. So maybe you can just explain what happened there.
You see, it was understandable for us that Ukrainian want to fight against our people. I mean the leftists, okay? And our people, especially young people, try to prepare to fight against them. But the main mistake was that Nazi, already came to kill. Our people came to fight. They were prepared to fight against, but fight by arms or legs or something like that. Nothing special. They came already killed to kill our people. And I have some friends, two friends, who was there in Odessa, in a trade union building. And they say that there were many propositions to go away from this place. But one of my friends told me that, you see, it was something like a provocation. Because he told me that he never saw these guys, but they say, no, came into the building, tried to hide and tried to defend ourselves and so on. And you see, the Ukrainians said that 58 people were killed there. But many, many people said that something about 320 people were killed. Because Ukraine, they completely closed the building during the next day by, how to say, zabor. Big fence, no fence, how to say in English? They built their walls around this building, which were burnt. And never stay that, nobody knows what they did. Behind these walls, you see, and especially for me, it was a most terrible thing that they, in a very cruel way, killed many people. Never mind how many, 28 or 300. Never mind, they burnt people alive. The whole world look at this picture, and nobody said that we need to stop it. How is possible?
Okay. Yeah, you're talking about the Nazis. I mean, you know, old Zelensky himself, he is Jewish. So how can he be running a country with Nazis in?
Tony, who told that the, to be Jewish, it's impossible to be Nazi?
Well, wasn't it Hitler?
You see, it's difficult for me to say why the Jewish guy who is who was never a politician came to president chair and decided to continue the war. If you are, became a leader, the main task for you to stop the war, to stop killing people. But you see, now he refused against any conversation with the Russian Federation. So it is really so he decided to continue this war until the last Ukrainian will be killed. Okay?
So what about these Nazis? Are they real? Is there really Nazis there? I mean, this seems to be maybe just Russian propaganda.
You see, the Nazi and even not even, especially the unpunished Nazi, they never hide their nature. It's not difficult. Try to find in YouTube many clips of soldiers of Azov. Try to examine their tattoos. Their whole body in the Nazi symbols. What do you think? They just a game for them? No, it is their real faith. for them. And the Ukrainian government and the government of the Western countries tried to keep close the eyes closed, because it is very comfortable for them that somebody going to fight against Russia. I think that's all. But we know that they are real Nazi. We know it very well. And they never tried even to hide it. Okay.
Yeah, so what's the situation like now for you and your life and for people in the Donbass?
You see, for now we are the part of Russia Federation. Especially in Lugansk, the situation is nearly calm, because we are far from front line. But now the Western countries try to support the Ukrainian army, and they gave some artillery rockets and so on with a big distance. So from time to time we have explosions on the territory of the Lugansk city. But anyway, the situation is rather stable in here. But in Donetsk and Gorlovka, the situation not so good, because the front line is too close to the cities, and the people suffer, civilian people suffer from artillery shellings. But anyway, we are full of optimism, and we hope that Russia will win, and our soldiers will win, and Nazis were killed, will be killed. Okay.
Are you concerned that maybe the NATO countries, the United States, Britain, France, Germany, might actually allow the Kiev and Zelensky to join NATO? Because that could be a really big war, couldn't it?
You can just see how many money they spent to support the Kiev. So they push Zelensky to continue the war. Okay.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, isn't it a bit worrying for somebody like you in the Donbass that maybe Zelensky and the NATO countries will become one?
One? You see, we don't agree in it. Because you see the I don't know how to explain you, but in our people, among our workers, nobody believed that the Zelensky was also with support of Western governments will win. No, we believe in our victory.
Yes, but I mean, I was in Whitehall in London a few weeks ago, and there's a demonstration, a small demonstration by Ukrainians and supporters in London, and they say, "We will win, we will win." So they're saying the same as you.
You see, but the little difference between us, I mean here, but there in London, what they do in London. If you want to defend your country, please come to your country and go to the battlefield. They run away like rabbits from other countries, and from that countries they try to support something. It's just a funny. Next time you will see them, please ask them, what are you doing in here? Please go to battlefield and defend your country. Okay,
so what do you see? Because we've got a big problem, haven't we? In that when the peace comes to Ukraine, as we all hope it will, the next thing that will happen is probably Ukraine will join NATO. But maybe the peace, what happens after the peace, could be worse than now.
You see, for me, the good future will be the government which will be friendly to Russia and Belarus, and will never enjoy NATO, because NATO just say that this is the bloc to defense. But everyone can see how many steps they did to be closer to the Russia Federation border. Also, the United States, how many military bases in the whole world. And they always say that we came to defense. I think it's not true.
What about your family? Do you have family over in the other side of Ukraine? Because, I mean, there must be quite a few families in Russia and Ukraine who have members of their family on both sides.
You see, as for me, I am Ukrainian, my wife is Ukrainian, my kids are Ukrainians. But you see, it's a very strange situation, because the family of my wife, they more Russians, but they use Ukrainian language in their family. My family more Ukrainian, but we use more Russian language in our family. You see, also I would like to say that before the 2014, I was a big supporter of European Union. And it was my dream that Ukraine became the part of European Union. But not the price of the killing many, many people. Now, maybe it's possible to say that I'm a big supporter of Russian Empire or Soviet Union, as you wish. Okay.
So let's take a step back from everything. You've painted a very good picture there of what's going on now and some of the history. Why is it that this conflict is taking place? If you're looking at the big superpowers, United States, China, Russia, and the fights that are going on now in the Middle East, in Africa, the tensions in other parts of the world like Taiwan and Korea, we don't have a particularly happy world right now. But I wonder, where do you think the conflict going on in Ukraine fits into the bigger picture? What are the real motives here?
You see, it was not understandable for me during the long time, because I was never involved in the politician questions or something like that. But after 2014, I started to communicate with the trade unions from other countries, and people from other countries, especially from Western Europe, explained me that you can see this is the Ukraine now is battlefield between the big players of the world. Now I understand that the Russia Federation is a very big and very interesting piece of cake for Western governments. And now I understand that the Russia try to defend not just Donbass. They try to defend themselves. Because we already told with you that the NATO step by step, but after the 1991, came very, very close to the Russian borders. But you see, as for me, the Ukrainian government during 30 years, they try to use everybody. I mean their Russia, I mean Western countries, to use, to organize their life. But they thought they strong, but in reality the Western governments, turned out more stronger. And in my opinion and on my thoughts, I think that Ukrainian politicians sold their country completely to the Western world. And when they sold everything, after that the war began.
So there are quite a few groups here in Britain, including people from the Communist Party, the Socialist Workers' Party, the Stop the War Coalition in London, where people like John Rees and Lindsay German. These are people who were big campaigners that brought millions out on the streets against the Iraq War back in 2003, for example. That what they say is their first demand is that Russia must leave Ukraine. That will help to stop the war. What do you have to say to them?
To the people, you mean to the people who is the communists?
Well, like I say, we have Communist Party members and we have Socialist Workers' Party members in London, Lindsay German and John Rees and people like this. What they say is that to stop the war, and in fact they are part of this organisation, Stop the War Coalition, they say to stop the war, first the Russians must leave Ukraine.
You see, I would like to say them and say to everybody that try to do something that your governments not to support Ukrainians, Ukrainian government, and they're all kind of war. Will finish by conversation. And if the Western countries will stop their support of Nazi regime in Kyiv, the peace came to us.
Well, you know what? It's funny because some would say the same about Tel Aviv and Palestine. You know, if the American financial support for the Israeli government was to finish, so the oppression of the Palestinians would finish too. Just finally, Andre, where is a good place for the British to go to find out what's happening, a more balanced view? Because we get a very unbalanced propagandistic view from the press here, very little from the Russian point of view, in fact nothing really. It's all Zelensky is a hero and that sort of thing. So are there websites in English that we are still allowed to look at where or news channels, etc., where you can get some balanced views on what's happening in Ukraine?
So explain one more time, because I lost the meaning.
Where can our listeners follow somewhere which is telling the truth about Ukraine?
Yeah. You see, I know that many people in the world understand the real picture of the situation in Ukraine, and I know that many people support us, but not the activity of Zelensky. So I would like to say to that people who really support us that try to unite in our fight against the Nazi regime in Kyiv. Okay.
Okay, Andre, thanks very much for joining us. Andre Kochetov, is that right?
Yes, Kochetov, yes.
Kochetov.
Yes, C-H, Kochetov.
Okay, Andre Kochetov, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much, and say hello to all people, but especially to the people who try to support us.